episode 36 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
This is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z, sort of.
All right, guys, so last episode we got Category D, and we spun for Darker Than Black.
We spun the wheel and got Darker Than Black.
I mean, it is what it is. Anyway, it's an anime television series created and directed by Tensei Akamura and animated by Bones. That's like the fifth series we've gotten by Bones already.
Yeah.
It must be a very popular studio.
No, actually, I actually looked through their creations. They don't have a super ton, a lot of stuff. We just seem to get them.
Well, their animation seems to be really good, and most of their animes are good.
Yeah, I mean, the only one we got that we watched that wasn't fantastic, really, was Ungo. You don't remember Ungo?
No.
That was the one with the woman who can grant wishes in the shop, and the kid who...
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. But that was probably also older.
It wasn't...
If I can remember that, it seemed older.
If you say it's terrible, but you don't remember your review of it.
Did I say good? No, I said it was terrible.
You said it was all right. You gave it a middle-of-the-road kind of review.
It was terrible. My impression of my memory of it, because I can't remember it that much, was that it was terrible.
No, there were some good things in it.
All right. So this the plot, I'm going to read from the wiki really quick. And the reason being is that the plot's ambiguous. Certain things are told to you outright, and other things you're just let to find out on your own, which is interesting and all, but...
You just don't want to do the premise. Go ahead.
Part of that's true. 10 years ago, a mysterious spatial anomaly known as Heaven's Gate appeared in South America, shortly followed by the opening of Hell's Gate in Tokyo, altering the sky and wreaking havoc on the landscape. The real stars disappeared, replaced by false stars. During this time, people possessing various special abilities called contractors emerged, capable of different supernatural feats. Each contractor has a corresponding fake star in the fake sky, which reacts to their activities. So if they're using their ability, it lights up. If they're not using it, the star's kind of dim, and if they die, it falls. As such, contractors are usually identified by their star's messier catalog number. So, like, the main character's number is BK201. So, if the government's tracking him, that's what they call him by. Kept secret from the masses, these individuals are known to murder in cold blood, smothering unnecessary emotions with logic and rationality. That's a byproduct of being a contractor. Most of your human emotions are gone, but what's more important than emotions is your conscience is gone. Mm-hmm. You can just kill for no reason. Well, not for no reason. To better your gain. It's almost like being a psychopath. And I'm not reading any more of that, so that's fine.
There was nothing in there that the show didn't explain.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. I didn't actually read that ahead of time. I just assumed it would explain a little bit more than I could.
Nope.
So the series follows BK201, which is H-E-I. He's this assassin that kills contractors. That's what the syndicate does. They contract him to kill contractors. That's not what the show does. The show doesn't really follow that too much, though.
It's kind of like the syndicate just hires him to do different jobs.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens in the show, but doing some reading up on the show itself, I found out that, like, in the manga, that's specifically what the syndicate does, which is who he works for, and what he does, he's just usually going around killing contractors. That's where he gets his reputation from.
A little bit of research that I did, this was one of those ones where it was a show first.
It might have been, I don't know.
So, even if it was in the manga, that was their interpretation of it.
I could have sworn the manga was before the first season, but what I saw, and maybe, I don't know, conflicting sources, I guess, but what I saw was that the second season was made before the manga caught up to the second season in the anime. That's what I saw, but who knows? I mean, it's a bit of a conjugal fuck, I guess.
That's what I thought I saw.
So, anyway, there's two seasons, season one and season two. There's one episode OVA after season one, then after season two, there's four OVAs. But surprisingly, the four OVAs after season two take place in between season one and season two.
Like, there's an OVA at the end of season one?
Yeah, so there's, I believe it's 25 episodes, and then the 26th episode is technically an OVA.
Oh.
Like, there's not a whole lot. It's like the story of the first season.
I watched all the episodes and the things.
So did I. I watched it in the same order, but afterwards. And you realize that last four episodes is definitely in between the two seasons.
Yeah, I just didn't know there was one of those episodes.
Yeah, 26 was an OVA. I can't really remember quite what happened in it, but it wasn't anything monumental.
Right, because it was just an episode, like, in between the series somewhere.
Yeah.
It didn't take place after the series.
Now, I liked the first season, but I got some issues with it. Now, we watched the second season as well, and I loved the first few episodes of the second season.
Okay.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. And then the four episodes of the OVA were okay, I guess. They explained some things, but kind of left more questions to be answered.
That tied right into the second season.
To the beginning of it, but it doesn't explain everything. Anyway, so first season.
First season, you're on a roll!
So, what happens in the first season?
Stuff? Things?
The opening scene is a group of government agents led by a female detective, I guess.
Yeah.
Chasing down a contractor that's running away. And I don't remember what he did or probably killed someone or something.
I don't know what he did, but he was anti-gravity.
Yeah, he could sort of make himself float. And BK-201, hey, our antagonist.
Or
antagonist,
not
antagonist. Green Reaper, some people call him. Or he Black catches
Reaper.
Up to him and kills him first.
Black Reaper.
And that seems to be what he is usually doing from what I've looked up. And he catches up to him and he kills him. And then he gets away when the government agents sort of catch up to him.
Right, yeah.
His power is electricity. That's his contractor power because he's obviously a contractor.
He's not really a contractor.
But he sort of is. What's really interesting about contractors is, so how we talked about how they all get powers.
Yeah.
What's really interesting is that they also have a payment for their power.
Right.
So it could be anything. One guy, was it November 11? What was his name?
The November 11.
The tall, suave, British dude, blonde hair.
No, I think, wasn't November 11?
The kid. Okay, so was he September?
Yeah, he must have been September.
Anyway, so this guy's really cool, and he's a little bit, a couple episodes into the show. But I can't quite remember his power. It was either...
It was ice.
It was ice? I thought it looked like he was turning things to stone?
Because, no, he used the girl he was with.
But it looked like ice sometimes.
She would create water.
And he could freeze
it. And he would freeze it.
Okay, so he could freeze things, and he could, like, freeze the ground, and let's say you're 5 feet away, he could freeze the ground and then freeze your foot to the ground. So his payment every time he would use his power is he'd have to have some cigarettes, he'd have to smoke. Other people's powers would be kissing someone.
The most interesting part about the payment is it usually goes against everything that you are.
Mm.
So, because, like, the first you're introduced to the guy who can create ice, and he's given this guy a speech about secondhand smoke, how secondhand smoke kills you.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
While firsthand doesn't, so. And that's what contractors are. It goes against what you do. Like, in the second season, there's a samurai chick who can use her sword energy blades.
And, shoots energy out of her sword.
But she's gay. But her contract is that she has, in order to keep her powers, is to kiss men.
Some. Well, not just men. She's kissed women, too.
No, but it says specifically.
Was
it? She kissed the men, but she kissed the girl to get the taste.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, because I remember her saying that. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So there was...
But interesting enough, and they don't explain this until probably halfway to three quarters of the way through the first season, you just left to notice it. BK-201, hey, never has a payment.
Yeah, no, he doesn't have a payment.
So I kind of liked that. I do like things that sort of lead you to figure it out on your own, but if you never figure it out, they should still eventually tell you what's going on.
They do tell you.
They do with this one thing. They don't with everything is what I'm kind of getting at.
Okay.
So that was really cool. Like, I noticed a couple episodes in, I'm like, oh, look, everyone's got a payment. I wonder what his payment is.
Yeah.
And then you never find out. And eventually they tell you that he doesn't have a payment.
Yeah, he doesn't have a payment.
Wants you to question why.
Because I know why. You don't know why?
No, I know why. I'm just saying as a series.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's a really good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that's another plot device.
The show is...
Plot into plot.
It's got a lot of mystery going to it, which is... And it, not, like, bad mystery. You know, you're just trying to figure out what's going on throughout the whole show, which is pretty cool.
So, I was hoping, as the first season started and towards the middle, that the end of the first season, or at least at some time in the series, they would explain the whole contractor and gate thing. And they do to a point that they never tell you where the gate came from. You assume space, right? That's what I assumed. I assumed something, some sort of alien thing did this. But they never tell you. Now, obviously, contractors are getting their powers from the gate. That's explained. But how the gate came to be, and it's sort of like a quarantine area in Tokyo, and there's one in South America. And in Tokyo, they built a wall around it. Build a wall. And the wall's really thick. There's, like, science facilities and stuff in there inside the wall. And, you know, they send teams into the gate. When all the gate really is a quarantine area with crazy magic contractor stuff going on inside of it.
From what I remember of the show, it kind of just appeared.
Yeah, and they don't tell you that.
I think that's kind of the point, though.
Well, see, that's what I was hoping, though. I was looking for that's a mystery to me, and I wanted that resolved.
But some things
and
just,
it never did.
Some things just don't get resolved.
So that bothered me with the first season. I was really hoping that would happen. And then the second season starts and I'm like, oh cool, I'm gonna figure it out in the second season. Not the case. You never figure it out.
Well, that's because both seasons end on cliffhangers, kind of.
Yes. And it's very much open for another season, but it doesn't look like it's gonna be
made. No. Because
the ending of season 2 was 2011.
Right.
And as of right now, it's nearly 2019. We're about a week away.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think it's gonna happen. But
there's no news about it. I looked that up.
I think they intended to make another season.
Yeah, I think they did too.
And that's
a lot of loose ends.
And they were gonna leave. That's why they were leaving. They didn't solve any of those mysteries. So I think they intended to do it, but never got around to doing it.
However, though, within the first season, they do solve some mysteries about Hayes' previous contractor team that would work for the syndicate. You find out about all them and everything. Why he's by himself for the most part. I mean, he's got a team member. What's her name?
Yen.
Yen? Yen. That's her name.
But Yen's not a contractor. She's a doll.
She's a doll, but that...
We never explained what dolls are.
Yeah, I guess we didn't. They're sort of like empty shells of people.
Kind of.
Well, that's what they're supposed to be, right? They're supposed to be empty shells of people with no consciousness, really.
Well, the way they explained it is contractors are people who fail to become dolls. That's what they said. That's what they said at some point in the show. I don't remember where.
Well, I didn't catch that at all. But yeah. That's what happened. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, and dolls are like almost they can send out like psychic links.
Yeah, they have like this blue goop stuff that can not only go into water and like sit in water. So if there's water anywhere, they can see you. They can follow you.
Well,
and watch
each
you.
Doll has a specific thing.
But some of them are like power lines. They sit in the power lines. That was kind of interesting. Didn't really explain all that.
Like
but.
Yin Hayes doll is that's. Really bad Hayes doll, but I mean, kind
of. They also touch on that a bit about there being some sort of slave trade of the dolls, and if you're cute, then you know you're going to fetch a good price
because they don't they let you do whatever they want. They
they're always just there.
They obey every command.
You tell them eat, they eat. You tell them to poop, they go poop. You know what I mean? Whatever you tell them to do, they're going to do.
But like Yin can send her things out through water, and then there's this little kid November 11 that works for the MI6 who sends his out through glass. And they can see different things and send their things out to search different areas.
And then there's the cat, the talking cat.
Yeah, well, he was a contractor, too.
Apparently there's a whole subset of contractors like him that can take their consciousness and throw it into animals.
Yes.
Some can throw it into people, but he could only do animals, and then put it back into himself.
But his human body died, so he got stuck in the body of a cat.
And he could still jump between animals.
Right.
But he tended to stay with the cat.
Yeah, until the second season where the cat body got killed and he got stuck in a flying squirrel.
Yeah, but in the end of the first season, didn't he die?
No.
I could have sworn he died in the end of the first season, but then he's like, boom, I'm alive.
No. He was, where was he? I forget. He wasn't in the ending with Hay and Yin.
Yeah.
He wasn't there.
And then in the first season, he's just back.
I think he was with...
So what happened at the end, unless he came back somehow, at the end of the first season, so periodically, while he's in the cat, he has to go to, like, a machine or something. They never show
it. That's how they
did. But they tell you he had to go to a machine and, like, keep the animal suppressed so his consciousness can override the animal. And then, towards the end of the first season, they're not really with the Syndicate anymore. They're kind of going against them a bit, doing not what they want.
No, the Syndicate kind of fell apart.
Yeah, so he didn't have access to the machine anymore, and the animal took over and he ran away. So I just assumed he was done after that. And then, bam, beginning of the second season, he's there. And there was no explanation for that I can remember.
They said that he survived because he put his consciousness in the machine. And then once the...
They said that
in the beginning of the first episode of the second season.
Jesus, well, how did I forget that? Anyway, so that was kind of interesting. He could jump through animals and stuff. There was a pretty funny scene. Well, not really funny, but ironic, I guess. He was stuck in an animal cage, like a cat cage, and he was falling into the water slowly. So he turned into a bird and then flew at a guy and fucking killed the bird immediately, so he had to go back to the cat that was about to drown.
This was against another guy who could switch bodies with another human, with other humans.
Which is a far better power. My God.
Yeah.
I would never want to do anything, ever. Like, forget fighting or just live inside people forever. Just go jump inside some lady for 5 years and jump into someone else for 10 years. Like,
I mean, I guess. But it seems like the contractors kind of give the contract powers you get kind of give you what you want.
Yeah, so if you want power to do something, you're going to do it because you just got the power for it.
You just have to pay the price for it. Exactly. And they mentioned that we never find out what happens if you don't pay your price, though.
Yeah, so September eventually is about to die. He was shot or whatever. But he had to pay his price. And he was like, oh, I think I can skip my price this one time, and he bled out and died. Yeah. So even then, which would have been a perfect opportunity, he could have died from that instead, but he didn't. He died from bleeding out.
That, you know, it's contractors melt or something when they die.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
Never showed it, but yeah, they were like, oh, that's the rumor.
But it's all myths. No one knows for sure.
Yeah, everyone pays the price.
Yeah, no matter what it is. So,
I like the first season. The overall arc is that BK-201 Hay is looking for his sister, and he eventually meet her at the end of the first season. Apparently, she's been inside him the whole time.
Yeah, from what I understand, she got fused inside him. That's why he has contractor powers. Doesn't have to pay a price because she's in him. That's the price, essentially. So
yes,
and he also comes across his old girlfriend.
was it?
Yeah, Amber, I believe.
Amber was his old girlfriend.
Who was also in his team.
Her powers was she could see the future.
And she gets younger as she does it.
Yeah.
I guess that's her price. You get younger when you use it.
Yeah, because the other one could see the future too. The cult leader. Mm-hmm. And she got older.
Yeah, that's a shitty. Yeah. That one sucks. I'd rather get younger.
So, it seems like all the things are tied together in certain ways. Yeah. Like, certain powers are tied.
There's a lot of opposite powers.
So, I mean, even same powers. Like, I think they
Yeah, there were some same powers, yeah.
But they had different prices.
There's a pair of brothers in the second season that could levitate things and move them around. And they have the same power. I don't think we figured out what their price was, but because they died in that same episode.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But, yeah, you do see that they have the same power, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, throughout the first season, Hayes pretty much likable. Like, he's cut off emotionally because the girl he loves has run away and joined some terrorist group or whatever.
And
his sister's gone.
And he's trying to find her.
Yen's just an emotionless doll, but throughout the first season, she starts to become more caring, more conscious.
They start out with the four people. The cat, Yen, the doll, him, and then this...
And then a human he's not a contractor, he's a human.
But he used to be a cop.
Yeah, he's sort of like, they're tied to the syndicate is what I'm kind of
getting.
Whenever they get a mission, he goes and figures it out and then comes back and says, hey, this is the mission.
And they all he kind of hates them at first. And
well, most people that know of contractors do.
Right. And everybody kind of hates each other at first. And then as the series goes on, it's the cliched story where they all come together and become friends.
Yeah, for the most part. He ends up dying at the end of this first season.
Saving them, essentially.
But, pretty much saving them, yeah. And you can see in that scene that he definitely cares for them a lot more.
Right. And even the cat, who was like almost was cowardly and to the point where rational with like a contractor's supposed to be, he even starts to come around and stuff like that. And Yin's.
Now, part of this is actually even explained in the show throughout the first and second season. Contractors are changing, dolls are changing.
Oh, yeah, dolls are. That's the whole arc of the second season.
Exactly. So that was interesting.
There were some strange detours, though, in this first season.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason. Like, we go to like this comedy detective guy. And his assistant cosplay.
He's even in the second season, which is great. I love that that's a recurring character for no reason. They didn't need to do that at all. He just kept coming back.
And he just came out of nowhere, like in the middle.
He talks like someone from the 40s.
Yeah, like a noir detective. Out of nowhere, in the middle of the first season, it's like the whole series kind of just changed.
It just changes to, for a couple episodes, being focused on them.
Uh-huh.
Really weird.
And it's not always focused on Hay, too. And sometimes it's focused on, like, there's a cop girl, detective girl.
Yeah, she's the leader of the government agency. Squad, not the whole agency, just the squad.
Right, there's a squad that hunts down contractors and stuff like that.
Arrests them.
Yeah.
Tries to, anyway. They're terrible.
And there's kind of, like, love angle with her.
Yeah, between her and PK-201. Hey.
Yeah, that never comes to fruition.
Yeah, not at all. She's definitely interested.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a damn.
But... They don't even, it's funny, they barely even come into contact. They come into contact like 3 times throughout the entire scene.
And you can definitely tell she wants them, even though she does a good job of not portraying it. Everyone around her is like, hey, we know you got the hots for BK-201.
Right, so, I mean, it's just, I found that funny, the romance angle. But actually, there is a romance.
There's two of them. Him and Amber, which is sort of resolved before the show even starts. He's not interested, but she's interested in him a bit. And then in the OVA, you see...
Him and Yen.
There's a serious romance there.
Yeah.
And that leads on to the second season, which is kind of terrible because those 4 episodes should have been before the 2 seasons. You shouldn't have watched those after.
Yeah, no.
So even though the order of release is first season, second season, 4 episodes of OVA, you should really watch it first season, 4 episodes of OVA, then second season.
Right.
That's my recommendation anyway. Makes a lot more sense.
So yeah, it's pretty much him going through and doing jobs for the syndicate, finding the sister.
And, well, like I was touching on though, he's very likable. Even though he's a bit emotionally cut off, he's a contractor, and everyone he knows and loves is pretty much gone. He doesn't love Yen yet. He loves her at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
He's got a weird quirk where he eats a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much him. He's a super skilled assassin. He's got the electric power. And that's sort of the arc of the first season altogether, him as a character.
Where are you going with this? You said that he's kind of
I'm going with this to lead into his character development in the second season.
In the second season, he's not even, like, the main character.
No. But, so, he's likable in the first season, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the second season starts, and immediately, without seeing the OVA 4 episodes in between the season,
uh-huh,
there's a jump from a very likable character to a drunk that hits 12-year-old girls, beats them. There's a huge fucking jump there, right? Huge character development. He went from a nice guy who happens to be an assassin and kills people someone you generally like, to someone who's literally a drunk. He, every waking moment he's drinking if he's not actively on a contract or, you know, trying to kill someone or whatever on a job. And then eventually he starts training the main character of the second season, which actually isn't him, surprisingly. And as he's training her, just fucking starts beating her. Yeah. She's a 12-year-old girl, just beating the shit out of her right in the face. Do it again! And so for me, that was really interesting. I wanted to see how he got to that point. Well, what changed him?
He did.
You did in the four episodes of the OVA. You didn't in the second season, and that's bad.
No, I guess you didn't. But
most not everyone's gonna watch the four episodes of the OVA.
But at the same time,
you watch the season, and that's supposed to be a beginning, middle, and end.
But at the same time, if you watch the first season and then you go into the second season and you pretty much realize he's lost everything. And what happens to a contractor who loses everything?
Yeah, but so like in the last episode, he like, there's a chance for him to take his sister out of him. And he chooses not to because if her power's inside him, he can sort of save everyone. Because everyone's going to die for some BS reason. But he ends up saving everyone. But he made that choice to keep her inside him. And he seemed really at peace with it. Like, it didn't seem like this was going to be some internal struggle he was going to be hating himself and turn into a drunk.
Yeah, no, but there's also...
There's a disconnect there between the ending of the first season and the beginning of the second season.
You also get the feeling that some time has passed, and obviously no one else is around him, and he's working for the CIA.
Well, definitely. I'm just looking for a reason for what, for, you know, give me that. Well, they never gave it.
The flashbacks with losing Yin and stuff in the second season was kind of the reason.
But the OVA completely explains it. He fell in love with Yin, and then she got ripped out of him. The last person he cared about. The OVA explained it perfectly. I just really wish, as a viewer, I'd seen that before the second season.
I mean, I guess. It's just, I didn't see too much of an issue with it. I picked up on all the hints that were...
Maybe I'm a dunce. Anyway, so the second season starts out. Good. I did the first season. You did the second season.
No.
I'm going to sit back.
No. It's relax a little bit. You were doing so well. I don't want
to... I mean...
I don't want
to... I know, but I do so well, and you're never going to get any better if I keep doing it for you.
Nah, except that I've done whole shows by myself where you just sat there.
All right, so the second season starts out. How does the second season start out?
The girl at school is where she starts out, and she's taking pictures.
She's taking pictures. She's, like, in a tree taking pictures, yes. And her two friends are, like, confessing to each other, pretty much.
Their love.
And the next day starts, and the one girlfriend that became a, you know, girlfriend with the kid, of the kid, they're now boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That was a terrible way to explain that.
Yeah, you're terrible at this.
Let's see. Told you.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're going to make
it better. Second day, she clearly became a contractor. Because she's emotionally cut off and doesn't like him anymore and tells him to get lost.
Yeah, she controls cockroaches.
Yeah, it was weird. Now, what I really liked about the second season is that people die. Like, a lot of people die.
Oh, yeah, everyone
and
dies.
And almost with, like, no build-up to it. Like, probably halfway through the second season, she comes back, the cockroach girl.
Yeah, and she gets killed
off. And, like, bam, just dead.
Yeah, I mean, it resolves.
Gun in the face, bang.
So, the girl and also becomes a contractor, kind of. It's weird, but...
Yeah, her and, weird contractors. Yeah. They don't really make
sense. But she has a twin brother who's also a contractor.
Copies, but you don't figure that out till near then.
No, the ending's weird too. But she becomes a contractor, and I lost my train of thought.
Her contractor power is she has this medallion that her gun comes out of, and it's sort of like a Sailor Moon. Where she like,
that's what I was getting at.
My clothes come off, and then the gun comes out of my battle. That was a bit much, but I know why these shows always do that. It's a time save.
I got you.
Right? So if you got a 22-minute episode, and she can transform twice, so that's a minute.
But they went through the whole first season without doing it. And then it happened in every episode, the stupid Sailor Moon transformation.
Yeah, it was bad. So, the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is what they're doing.
This is why they made the girl the main character of the show, so they could just put her in and do the Sailor Moon transformations.
Pretty much.
It got lazy.
Mm-hmm. And then within the first episode, BK-201 ends up killing her dad.
Not really.
You don't figure that out much later, but not really. But he kills her dad and one of the British MI6 agents.
The one,
one. Well, she was partnered up with September.
Yeah, well, the MI6 agents were a big part of the first season. And then the lead guy got dead, and then...
Got dead.
Yeah, essentially. And then in the second season, they the other one gets killed off, and then Hay ends up with their doll. Because Yin's missing.
Yeah, November 11th?
Yes.
Yeah, so November 11th is their doll, and Hay gets him pretty much, and he pairs up with the girl. What's her name?
What girl?
Sinan? Sio? The girl, the contractor, in the second season.
Oh, I don't know.
Forget her name. Anyway, so she gets this gun. It's an anti-tank rifle. Thing's gigantic. That's her power. It just comes out of the medallion, and she can shoot it. One in the chamber and five in her pocket. That's how many bolts she gets every time she summons it. I remember that. It's oddly specific, but I remember that.
I was like, okay.
So November 11th sort of is helping her shoot, so she needs to learn how to shoot. Even though she has the gun, she doesn't really know how to shoot. So he's like, all right, 2 degrees to the left, you know, 1 degree up. And then she shoots and she hits the target. But it took a little while. First couple shots, she kept missing. And BK-201 was like, bam!
why are you shoot going better. On about this?
I don't know. Because you're supposed to be doing this part. But yeah, so that was interesting. Man, that was just so good about the beginning of the second season. And his transformation
into
an asshole.
He keeps saying that as if it gets bad, so.
I mean, it doesn't really get bad, but there wasn't really any resolution for it. So at the beginning, at the end of the first season, we didn't get the resolution in the figuring out where the gate came from. So the second season, I'm like, oh, all right, this is what's going to happen. We're going to figure out how this all happened.
I mean, they resolved him being a drunk and stuff. They resolved the whole yin.
They did. About halfway through, he stops being a drunk.
Because of her, the girl. And then they find...
There's actually a very clear moment where she... I forget what she did, but she fucked up somehow. And she's like, all right, hit me. But do the other side, because you hit my right side earlier. And I want to equal the... even the swelling out. And he sort of, like, steps back, and he's like, oh, damn, I gotta stop drinking. He doesn't say it, but you can see it. So that was interesting.
So, I mean, essentially, it's just hey, and this girl trying to run from the different government agencies and stuff like that, trying to...
Well, she also wants to meet up with her brother.
Yeah.
Because her dad's dead and wants to figure all this out. And there's a bunch of clues that there's something not right with her.
She's a clone.
You find out towards the end when her mother is talking to that detective lady that wants to get it on with BK-201 that she's apparently a clone and her actual body died.
In an explosion or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then you find out later on...
It gets weird. Like
the last two episodes that she's talking to her brother. Was it her brother?
The twin?
Yeah.
Well,
no, she was talking to her father because her father was a copy. And apparently her brother made a copy of her and then made memories for her.
Yeah.
So her memories aren't even from her body. The memories made up from her brother.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. So she's not even herself. Like, it's not even like they saved her brain
on a
memory card and then uploaded it to a body.
This show is... This happens, kind of, then it doesn't happen.
It goes back and forth with a couple different things like that.
So, essentially, they go through all this, she finds her family, they realize she's a clone, and at the end, they find Yin, and they kill Yin, because Yin, in the OVAs, Yin was...
They don't kill her.
Yes, they do. He does.
I don't think he kills her.
Yes, he does.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't.
I'm
pretty sure he just holds her.
No, she's... The whole point of the OVA was that she was evolving and becoming this great destructive force or something that they had to do, and at the end, he went and killed her, and that's how she became this great thing, and that leads into the second season. At the end of it, they find Yin again, and she's like, all right, now you can kill me. He smiles, kills her, and then at the last scene with him, walking away with her dead corpse.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't catch that. Anyway, so what was, real quick, was interesting is the second episode of the second season, he loses his powers.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then right towards the end, he gets them back again.
Yeah.
You see his star starts to brighten up.
Not right towards the end, that was the end.
That was the end, yeah. So his star brightens up, and the government agency's like, oh, look, power's back.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was sort of a way to depower him, so he wasn't overpowered for the whole second season.
He wasn't ever really overpowered in the first place. He gets his butt kicked a lot.
He does, but he always comes out on top.
Yeah, but still.
Anyway, you know, I like the series.
I did, too.
It's got some issues, some, I wouldn't say plot holes, but just areas that could have been improved
upon. What season did you like best?
I like the second season more.
Yeah? You know what I like?
Even without getting the resolution that I wanted within the second season, I still liked it more, because there's such a character development.
You know what I like the best, believe it or not? The four OVAs in the middle.
They were good. Oh, yeah. Like, you definitely need those in the show. You can't just watch season one and season two.
Well,
you need
those four OVAs. I just like the relationship between him and Yin throughout the whole thing. It's the development of everything that happened. I thought that was the strongest part of the show. So.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. The OVA might be better. There's some good fight scenes in it, too.
Yeah.
The one girl who can, like, change gravity so, like, she can force you to sort of lay in the ground and then, like...
Oh, yes.
But in order to keep doing it and to up the gravitational force to make you hit the ground harder, she has to take clothes off. That's her payment. While she's using it, she has to take clothes off.
But the best explanation to describe her powers, it's Dragon Ball Z 100 times gravity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, perfect. But also, not nudity, because they never show you nudity.
No.
But,
yeah, she has to take... She wears layers and layers of punk clothes.
So there's one scene, well, the last scene, right, when she dies, she's pushing BK-201 into the crown, and with the angle, you don't see it, but you see her taking her panties off, and he gets a full view. That's hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, this was a good show.
It was alright. It's got some issues, I think. What kind of rating do you think?
Well, I think this was one of the better ones that we watched.
Sorry for all the clicking, by the way. I accidentally saw something.
Yeah, I noticed. Stop clicking stuff. So I think it was...
Well, especially compared to all the shit we've got.
Yeah,
it's above all that. That's
the problem with doing this show. It's just, we've been exposed to some really bad stuff, so when we get something good, and especially a streak of good, we get really lenient with the stuff that...
Yeah, this was good enough to be really lenient with a lot of things.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm leaning towards a 7 myself.
Sounds pretty good. This is all the great stuff we've given, like, 8.5 and higher. I would say. Eden of the East. I think we gave like a 9 or something, right?
8.
Wow. I could have sworn it was a little higher.
Well, but that was also because we were still kind of really harsh on everything.
That's true. I don't know if this is close to Eden of the East, though. I have fond memories of that anime.
7 is more of good but average, whereas 8 is kind of fantastic.
It's true. That's a big jump there. I'm going to have to go with 6.5.
You and your points. There's no
Fine. All right. 6.7, 6.4. Whatever. That's what I'm going with. Next category.
Oh, God. I'm worried about
this. Is E. E's a really short category. There's not too many anime within E. And I clicked through a couple of them. Some of them are really short. There's only a couple episodes. Some of them look fucking terrible.
I like the Freudian slip when you said Elfin Lied.
Elfin Lied. How do you pronounce
it? I'm assuming Elfin Lied.
Or is it Elfin Lied? That is, yeah. Simmons Lied. Anyway, we're going to spin for it.
Clapping! Something
good. Erase. Go for erase. Go for erase. Oh, son of a crap. End Ride, I think is how it's pronounced. So close to Erased. I've watched Erased. Erased is fantastic. But I don't know what End Ride is. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. You're looking at me like I know what these things are. You're the anime guy.
Anyway, guys, next episode.
End Ride.
End Ride?
Yeah, bye.
See ya.